Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
The views and opinions expressed by individuals on the following program do not necessarily reflect those of the network, Guys Guy Radio, and its platforms.
It's Guys Guy Radio. Here's your host, Robert Manny.
Welcome to Guys Guys Radio. This is your host, Robert Manny, welcoming you to the show where men and women can be at their best and everyone wins, Guys Guys Radio. We're here to inform you, inspire you, empower you, and get you to think, feel, and who knows, maybe even act by virtue of the journeys, stories, experiences, and insights of the guests I bring you each and every week to the show. And this week is no exception. Today, we're going to talk about relationships and dating when you're over 50. Wow, that is a war zone we're talking about there, because it ain't easy. My special guest who's coming back to us today is our friend Silke Schwarzkopf, the host of Second Act TV, which is all about dating and relationships over 50 and so much more. I love having Silke back to the show because we've got some great chemistry, and we always learn stuff while we're sharing our kind of war stories as well as our insights, what we're hearing from the experts we both interview about love and sex and power and all things happening for those in midlife and beyond in terms of dating and relationships in particular. So really interested and excited about having Silke back to the show because, wow, dating is tough itself. At 25, it's tough. At 50, it's brutal. But you know what? You can succeed. It can be done. We're going to get into all facets of what it takes to have to get out there and date if you have been kind of out of the game for a while, and kind of what are some of the landmines you need to think about and be aware of, and how to put your best foot forward and your best face forward. How do you know what you even want? Well, you have to start someplace, and I think that's probably the best place to start is what am I looking for? What do I want? So we're going to get into all of that and more on today's Guys Guys Radio.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Okay, Guys Guys Radio, it is the interview portion of our show, and I'm delighted to welcome back one of our favorite and most popular guests, the producer, creator, and host of the sensational Second Act TV, all about lifestyles and relationships and everything for folks over 50, my pal, Silke Schwarzkopf. Welcome back to Guys Guys Radio and Guys Guys TV.
Thank you, Robert. Thanks for having me back. And look, I have your book up there. I do this on my show. I point at his book when I interview him. So great book. Pick it up.
You know what? I still get a check every so often for sales of the book. So thank you very much. And it was I had so much fun writing it. And I'm so glad that people have got some get some fun out of reading
it. Oh, it's fun. It's fun.
And,
yeah.
And it's not dark. It's not about the hitman, you know. Maybe it's about the sexual hitman in there, but yeah. it's not a dark topic. It's a rom-com from a male point of view. Anyhow, thank you. Anyway. So today we're going to talk about something that we've touched on in the past. It seems to be very popular, and it's an area that keeps changing, but in many ways stays the same because it's about human nature. And that is relationships and finding relationships and continuing relationships and different types of relationships when you're over 50. You know, it's interesting, Silke, that over 50% of the population over 50 is single.
Yep.
And 50% of marriages go sideways. So you've got some good news, bad news. Do you think that's good news for prospective daters, or is that bad news because things aren't working?
Well, it is what it is. It comes to me right away. Yes, it's good news because there are a lot of people out there looking. You know, it's bad news because there's a lot of people out there looking, and you know, there's a lot of a lot of pain associated with that, unfortunately, and which is why this topic is so popular. Is people are always looking for answers because ultimately we're wired to want to be with someone. Doesn't have to be a romantic relationship, but we're social creatures. So I don't know if that answers your question, but it is, it was an interesting statistic when I first heard it, like 15 years ago or 10 years ago when I started this channel.
And it's interesting because the goals of a lot of folks over 50, like nobody wants to necessarily be alone, but people mm-hmm. over 50, having been through relationships and marriages sometimes, and so many other of the bumps and bruises we get along the way, some of them have very specific needs in terms of what they want out of a relationship that may be very different than what they wanted when they were in their 20s. You've got folks who've been married maybe once, maybe twice, maybe three times when they're over 50. You have people who haven't been married at all. And that mm-hmm. puts up, is that a red flag, whatever. But the way we're going to conduct our conversation and have some fun is Silke is going to provide us with the kind of perspective of the experts that she's had on Second Act TV, women and men like myself. I've been a guest many times and I'm very appreciative of that. And also I'm going to kind of push back and add some insights into kind of what guys might think, what a guy's guy may think about some of these issues. So let's start right at the beginning. What do older women want? What are you hearing and what do you think?
I mean, it's kind of what we've always wanted. I think it perhaps a bit more on just somebody that you really enjoy your time with. I think there's less emphasis on maybe the sexual part of it, or that the building a family, having kids. So I think we're getting a bit more serious. We look more to what the person is really all about, you know, versus maybe the popularity or all that kind of stuff. But at the same time, those of us, especially if you've been married for a while, or like me, a divorce after 25 years, when you start again, you kind of go back to where you left off. So you're just as stupid as you were in high school or college. So it's an interesting question because that's one of the segments we do a lot. You know, do you really know what you want? Who are you really looking for? I just did an interesting segment with a new guest about type and discovering who your real type is. And she had some great advice, but honestly, we don't know. We put so much value on looks that we forget about what really matters, what ultimately matters in order to find a happy long-term relationship.
Now, do you think, or what do you think, and what have you heard is, what is the biggest obstacles that women face when kind of re-entering the dating pool? You mentioned like when, you know, maybe you've been married or in a long-term relationship, and then you're single again, you go back, you revert to what it was like in 1996, maybe, instead of what it's like in 2025. And the dating game has shifted a little bit. It's still a game, and hopefully it's a fun game, but things have changed, and sometimes human nature doesn't change. But what do you think, and what have you heard about, what are some of the things that get in the way of women accomplishing their dating and relationship goals when they're over 50 now?
I think that they get in their own way. you get in your own way. And I think that extends to men as well. I think we all get in our own way to a certain extent anyway. With women, it's self-image, for one. You know, we've been told for so many years, especially women our generation, mm-hmm. and I'm in the 60s now, so wow. I've had it even longer, is that, you know, you're aging. Everything's about aging is bad. Aging is bad, and you need to look as young. You know, so when you have that ingrained as well, it's your confidence takes a hit, especially when you're out there thinking with your high school mindset about attracting men. You know, who will want me now? I hear that a lot. Who will want me now?
Well, let's talk about the self-image a little bit, because I think one of the things I personally have learned along the way with for men, for myself, and also even for, you know, women I know who are close to me, you're not going to look exactly like you did when you were 25, but because people change, your cells change. They, you know, we're changing all the time. That's not necessarily a bad thing. I think the challenge is to look as good as you can based on who you are now. Like maybe if you're a woman, you were 105 pounds, 20 years ago, and you're 20 years older now, maybe it's about not being 105 pounds, but carrying who you are in the best way possible. That's comfortable for you as well as looks good for your partner. And if you feel good about yourself, you usually look good to other people. And I know for myself, I was a skinny kid. I was always skinny. What do I do to gain weight? I had a friend of mine who was a big guy. He said, bananas and water, you'll gain weight. Well, now I'm always looking like everybody else. I'm looking, how can I lose 10 pounds? How can I lose 5 pounds? Uh-huh. How can I lose 15 pounds?
Yeah.
I'm intermittent fasting now as a lifestyle. I'm stabilized. I'm not losing weight. I just stayed the same. And I figured, you know what? Maybe this is the weight I need to be. How do I carry that in the best way possible? What do you think about that for anybody, and particularly for women who sometimes are too hard on themselves and their own self-image because they see what's out there and like, oh my God, look at these women. I've got to look like that. And with all the work done, et cetera.
Well, what you just said is a perfect really example of what one of the number one obstacles is, which is self-acceptance, that we all want to get to self-acceptance. And wouldn't it be a wonderful world if we all did that? The problem with what everything you just said, and I agree with it, absolutely agree with it, but it's so much easier said than done. And people, it's just so much easier said than done. And I think if people realize that this, it is a challenge, and there is judgment out there, not right. I mean, we just kind of have to work in that, in that environment, because that's what the environment is, whether you want it to be or not. And then work on, you know, what it is that you really want for yourself, or what makes you feel good. I agree 100%. The better you feel about yourself, the more you're going to attract what you really want.
So the competition becomes, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, that's okay. Go ahead.
The competition then becomes not with what you see on TV or with, you know, your ilk and your friends and all of that, but about how do you be the best for yourself? And to me, that's where the competition should be. You know, how do you make yourself as good as you can possibly be versus how I don't want to look like them because I'm really not built like them. I have to make the best of what I have. And I think that saves you a lot of anxiety and a lot of trouble, because otherwise you put yourself in a position where you'll never win, because it's always going to be somebody else. And I'm like, I can't look exactly like that. Or like, I can't afford all to have all that work done, or whatever, but just get comfortable in your own skin, do everything that makes you feel and look good as you can. And realize the fact that you're not going to look exactly like you did 30 years ago, but you know what? You can look fantastic if you do the work and you work on yourself from the inside out. And then you send that vibe out there that like, hey, I'm really comfortable in my own skin. That comes up. You were touching on that, but that really comes across to the opposite sex, I think.
No, absolutely. And you attract, you know, and we say, you know, attract or be who you want to attract and all that. And all that is really, really great information. And it's true. I always, when this comes up, I just try to acknowledge what people really feel, because sometimes we're led to, you know, not express our insecurities. And I'm not saying, you know, throw your insecurities up over everybody. But when you're giving advice, or I should say when I'm giving advice, or when I'm interviewing somebody who's giving advice, and I realize this is such a challenge. Sometimes people actually can feel bad that they're feeling, you know, the way they are. Ooh, I'm doing, not only do I not feel good about myself, but I'm not doing it right. You know, I suck up here too. Mm-hmm. I mean, so much goes on in your head,
right?
That you are, you know, we are our biggest obstacle. And talk about obstacles. The whole I'm not good enough, or, you know, that's actually a defense mechanism in for a lot of people, is that, well, if I'm not good enough, I don't have to try. So now you rationalize not going out there and dating if you really want someone. I'm not saying everybody has to be out there dating. There's lots of people that are perfectly happy single and alone. However, if you want a relationship, then the whole I'm not good enough, you know, I can't do it until then, you know, if certain things have to take place or happen, then you're probably never going to get around to it. Mm-hmm.
What do you think that men get wrong about older women?
What do they get wrong about older women? I think again, the generalizations, if you go to the comments, you know, we get thousands of comments on the channel. And one is that we all want to get married. We're all looking for somebody, you know, to marry. I just went through that on the last video. I don't know if that was yours or it doesn't matter. But that came up again is, you know, how do you know that he's committed? It was with you. Is how do you know that this man will ever commit? You know, and that's a good catchy title. But commitment is ultimately associated with marriage. And actually, the statistics don't support that. Most older single women, they don't want to get married again. We want a partner. We want somebody to share life with. We may want somebody to live with. As you know, Paul and I live together, have for a long time now. But marriage, not necessarily. Mm-hmm. It's just as off-putting to a lot of us as it is to men, you know, with bringing the government or the state, I should say, into your relationship.
Now, do you think that's true also for women who've never been married? Do they feel like, all my girlfriends or so many of them have been married and I'm not married. I haven't had any kids. I haven't got, mm-hmm. so I've got to get married. And there's a mindset, like the goal is get married. You think there's still a lot of women who have that mindset, because if they haven't been married?
I don't know if they haven't been married, but I personally have a really good friend who fits that mindset. She's never married. She's been with someone for a long time and she's been pushing for marriage and they're engaged, but it's never going to happen. And I know that it would be a big mistake. And it's only because she's never done it. She feels like there's something missing. And again, that's what, you know, why do we believe that? Why do we believe that there's something wrong with us if we never got married? And that's part of doing the work on yourself and just figuring out, where did I get that belief? You know, where did that belief come from that we have to get married? Or in my case, and I, you know, it's kids. I didn't want kids. I don't have kids. Never regretted it for a minute. And that's difficult for, you know, people to get their minds around.
Mm-hmm. Very understandable and courageous also. And you stick with your convictions, because I'm sure you've probably gotten pushed from your friends over the years, like, why don't you have kids? And like, what's the matter?
You'll regret it. You're going to regret it. You don't know what you're missing. Well, okay. Good. Yeah. It's always funny when, you know, well, why didn't you have children? You know, well, I just, you know, I couldn't have them. And then they all shut up.
It also seems like things change when, like, the whole dating game, if you will, when you're over 50, like mm-hmm. something like, and by the way, my special guest is my pal, Silke Schwartzoff, creator, producer, and host of Second Act TV, the spectacular show on YouTube all about relationships, dating, and everything else for folks over 50. Second Act TV, check it out and subscribe. But what I was getting at is first dates. You know, when you're younger, you know, first date is a big thing. When you're older, do people even have quote unquote like first dates? Do they go through that ritual the same way? Or is the mindset completely different because they've kind of been there, done that, and they don't want to play games?
No, it's the same. Again, I'm not speaking for everyone, and you know, we're talking gross generalizations, of course. But again, the first date is a huge topic. Every time I do something on, you know, first date mistakes, you know, red flags on a first date, those get the most views because there is such anxiety associated with first dates. It's probably even worse than it was when we were because of online dating. We have so many first dates that it's a constant, it's a constant rejection, you know, and that's one of the biggest things to get across too, is if we could just accept rejection or not make it so detrimental or understand that most of the time it doesn't really even mean anything. You're just not a match. You know, this whole process would be a lot easier because you do, most of us, if we online date, get a lot of opportunity to get rejected.
Well, it seems like when people are more and more, obviously they're using online resources for dating, whether they complain about it or not, they're still doing it because the alternative is not that easy, particularly if you're over 50 in terms of approaching people and making friends and new friends and stuff like that. So what's the solution to kind of getting over that first date where people meet at a bar and they sit at a table across from each other if they're not at the physical bar and they have a glass of wine or a cup of coffee or whatever it is. And then it's like, okay, I'm in or I'm out. Is there a better way or like dates, first date ideas that seem to be something that takes the pressure off that might be better in terms of maybe there's an activity, you know, go play pickleball or something like that. Because it's more about chemistry than just trying to like eyeball the other person and interview them.
No, I think that would be good. I think that as a, you know, advice again, in general, really you have to meet up for at least 20 minutes, you know, and usually a coffee place or maybe I was big on happy hour. I love meeting for happy hour and I liked having a glass of wine. A lot of people don't. Dry dating is huge now. And you know, that's great, but it is that creating a situation where you can at least, you know, talk without being hindered, if you will. And pickleball, I love pickleball. I think meeting people on the pickleball courts, so many people have met playing pickleball because it's a very social sport. But I don't think that's how you really, not for a first date per se, to get to know someone because you're playing pickleball. Right. And probably the best way that to spend your time, if it's just, you know, to going through meeting people and seeing if there's opportunity, probably a coffee shop or in a park, somewhere safe, you know, you always have to consider that, but it's that having enough quiet, you know, like movie or something you don't want to go to a movie. You can't talk, but go somewhere where you can have a relaxed conversation and then, hey, you know, nice meeting you. I'd love to see you again. Or, yeah, nice meeting you.
Where is a good place for guys to know? Where can good way to places to meet women over 50 and best ways to approach a woman over 50 organically in the real world, not online dating?
You know, that's become unfortunately so complicated because this whole Me Too movement and a lot of stuff that's happened has made so many men uncomfortable in approaching women. That can be a whole segment on its own. We actually have lots of videos on women approaching men first, and there's a big debate over that too, whether women, you know, to how direct, you know, should or can a woman be. But the impetus really has shifted to women to at least make themselves approachable, to where a man is comfortable approaching. So it doesn't really matter where you are or what. I mean, because obviously in some sort of social situation, you know, if you go out to a bar to, you know, where a band is playing or something. I mean, like, we live in the desert now in La Quinta, and there's lots of older people, older single people, and there's all kinds of pickup places for, I mean, it's really kind of funny. But it doesn't matter really where you are if you don't make yourself approachable by smiling, by putting yourself, you know, standing in a way where somebody can approach you. That probably is more important for a woman to learn how to be approachable and what makes a man notice you, perhaps, and how to send the signal. Yeah, it's okay for you to come. You know, that is, I think, where the secret sauce is.
You know, it seems like one of the complaints, if you will, and I think it's probably accurate, is that women over 50 and just women in general have about guys and dating is honesty. Mm-hmm. And particularly mm-hmm. when you're doing the whole online thing, people, they lie mm-hmm. about their age, they lie about this, they lie about that. How can a woman tell if a guy is being honest?
Oh, how can it? Well, I mean, that comes obviously with time. I don't know that if on a first conversation, I mean, some of it is so obvious when, you know, if somebody is just bragging, you know, that is always something goes up for me, is that, you know, could this be true? Or you can pretty from dating profiles, that we have done shows on that. How can you tell if a profile is fake or not? So that's a whole other topic in and of itself. But the whole, can you tell if he's, you know, it depends on what his intention is. If he's a scammer, you probably can't mm-hmm. because he's good at it, you know, and if he, I don't know what to have a good answer for that, Robert. It's, you know, how do you tell if a woman, I mean, I don't know about body or facial, you know, not facial recognition, but just the expressions.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, there's people you can tell if you erase your eyebrows, you're lying, you know. It comes, but you probably know within the first few dates. One of the big red flags is the whole love bombing, what we have acronyms for everything, or these names for all the trends now, but love bombing is when somebody just so quickly tries to build the relationship. Oh my God, my darling, you're just beautiful. I've been waiting for you. And whatever they're saying might feel good at the time, but anybody that comes on that strong, that I put in the potential dishonesty column right away.
Mm-hmm. So that's a red flag.
It's a red flag. They build you up and then they're quickly out of there. That tends to be a pattern.
How can you, with that, Silke, as a red flag, tell us a little bit more about some of the other red flags that come up, and how can you defend yourself if you're a woman with that, about from being love bombed? And what are some of the other red flags and what can you do about it?
Well, you just have to, you just call them on it, or you just remove yourself from the situation. You know, if you need to listen to your gut, and that goes for men and women. If something tells you that something isn't right, it's probably not. What I think one of the mistakes that women make, and what we talk about a lot, is that when we do meet someone and we feel like we have a connection, and you want it to be real. So you overlook, especially, you know, if you're attracted to them, you want it to be real, and you don't want to see the red flags, which are mm-hmm. which are numerous, you know, with how, you know, is he sending mixed messages? Is he calling you inconsistently? I mean, you know, the list goes on and on. But the answer to not falling for that is, you know, you just don't go along with it. You know, if something is bothering you, tell me, hey, you know what, this I'm uncomfortable with this, and let's slow it down a bit, you know. And if that falls on deaf ears, then it's not going to work. But honestly, I always think if you have to bring that up, then it's already over anyway. I mean, I would never say to someone, or if I said to someone, you know, I'm just not comfortable with this, you're going too fast, I'm already done with them. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. You know, we always touch on this, and there's never a definitive answer because there isn't one. But this notion of women approaching men, and for the younger generation, I think it's part of it. It's like it's almost, I'm not going to say it's 50-50, but it's more accepted and understood. When you're over 50, we come from a culture where the guy usually has been the first initiator. A part of that, though, is the woman gives a signal and the guy should be able to hopefully pick that up and know, okay, I can approach. Or they just go up and approach and then see what happens from there. But there is a lot of perspective that comes from, should women be the ones initiating and approaching guys? And there's like, yes, of course, you can't wait around for a guy forever. But well, then you put yourself in a position where you're vulnerable to the guy because you've let him know that you're interested instead of maybe, you know, catching his eye across the room, and then that's the okay, and maybe he gets it, and maybe he doesn't, and then the clock's ticking. Like, I don't want to wait around forever for men to like kind of get it. Maybe I should just do the approaching. So there's a lot of different schools of thought on this. What have you been hearing from your own personal experience, from the guests you have on your show, in terms of should women be initiating first contact and should they be asking guys out?
Well, ironically, most of your, again, I can't speak for everybody, but a lot of the male dating coaches and some that are very well known will tell you, no, a woman should not. And they say that while guys, and if for the guys listening, ask yourself that, you know, you would say, you know, would you like it if a woman asked you out? And you're going to go, well, yeah, bring it on. That would be great. Yeah, be nice if somebody asked me out. And then you go out, whatever. Apparently there are surveys or studies, and I don't have that at my hand, but this is the consensus of people that are in the dating space, that while men might like that, they ultimately don't take that woman seriously. That it's not good for a long-term or committed relationship. I'm just throwing it out there because you asked me, what do I hear? So that's like a really interesting point. The other interesting point, and this has just recently happened, is that the dating app Bumble, if you're familiar with that, just about everybody is one of the biggest ones. And their whole intent was to give women, to create a platform where women approach men. Women make the first move. That is what Bumble was all about. And just recently, as we record this, I want to say, I know it was in 24, I think it was late 24, they changed that because of the pushback, the experience, the drop in subscribers. Women weren't, they really didn't love that so much, because now they're experiencing what men experience when it comes to
rejection.
The other thing, and I'll throw back over to you, but one of my big pet peeves online, and what I've talked about in the show, is that if you're going to approach, like texting, you know, online or something, when I would get messages or send like, hey, how are you? You know, hey, it's like, I mean, if you can't read my profile and then do something a little better than that, I mean, the hey was like one of the biggest turnoffs. Well, according to this one author that I just read too, this is what women are now doing, or they started doing that on those platforms, on Bumble. It was like, hi, you know, like a little high school, or hey. So it's really funny how maybe the rejection part controls us more so than our masculine or feminine energy in that sense. I thought it was really interesting.
Yeah, it's interesting. I guess maybe I think the idea behind it and where it may work, because it worked in my relationship, is that the wink on the match.
Yes.
Like
yes.
Sometimes the women will, they wink at you, and that's, it gets giving you a green light. That means you can, but that doesn't mean they're going to do all the work. That means you can contact me because I saw you and I'm like open-minded about you. And that's how I met my wife. Mm-hmm. She winked at me. She had a free 3-day pass on Match, and she winked at me, and we met, and that was it. And now she didn't go further after the 3-day pass, thankfully. And so it can work out that way. But that didn't put a whole onus. That wasn't like, oh, right. I don't throw it in her face. Like, you know, you came after me. You made the first move. And I think that's the key. If a woman makes the first move, maybe she reaches out to a guy online, or even says, hey, let's go get a drink, or come on, we're doing this, and you want to come be part of that. I think to make it work, you just leave it at that. If the guy mm-hmm. doesn't take the bait after that get together mm-hmm. and initiate something, then then you've got a lazy guy on your hand, or he's spoiled, whatever. Because at
he's
that
not
point,
interested.
Yeah, the guy should pick up the baton and say, take the baton and say, okay, now I'll do mm-hmm. my part. You don't want it to get. I think for women, you don't want to fall into a behavioral pattern where you have to initiate everything, because right. that's just going to make the guy lazy. And you know what, guys, they'll take it if you allow them. They'll take advantage of that. That's just. That's the nature of the beast. Mm-hmm. It's the lion, you know.
Okay, or you run him off.
Yeah.
Or you run him off. You're chasing mm-hmm. him. I mean, that I did that. I've talked about that a lot, because I've always been outgoing. I've been, you know, pretty self-confident for the most part. But and I did do I initiated, you know, several times. Or then after we had a date, if somebody initiated that, I would, and I really like them, him, whatever. I would, if I wanted to continue it, I took that over, and it backfired every single time, you know. But the wink, as you said, yeah, that is, I love that. I don't know what, I think the swiping now is maybe. Mm-hmm. The equal to that, not the equal to that, but it's kind of, you know, given that permission to approach thing. But that's actually how Paul and I met too. Technically, I winked at him. It was actually one of my friends who was playing on my match my match page. So it's kind of a funny story. But yeah, the wink works great and gives men that, hey, it's okay. It's okay to approach.
Now for women out there who are in the market, and they're over 50, you're going to have lots of different guys. You have some have never been married. You're going to have mm-hmm. some have been divorced once. You're going to have some that have been divorced multiple times. And mm-hmm. then some have kids and some don't. Based on what you've heard, and even from your own perspective, what are the, how would you rank those in terms of preferences? The ideal guy, would it be, oh, okay, he was married once, he's divorced, and
right.
he's available, and he has a kid who's grown, or he's never been married, he has no kids. What, you know, what is it?
Yeah.
Or is it every situation different?
Every situation, of course, is different. But if I'm going to answer this really honestly, which I always try to do, and we've done topics on this, is, you know, never been married. Is that a red flag? Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't say a red flag, but it is a yellow flag. I think that if either women or men have not, quote, been married, because that's what we do in our, you know, society, then why are you in, did you never find the right one, or are you really not interested in a relationship, or are you not capable of commitment? I think those are valid questions. On the other hand, you know, if you've been divorced several times, does that make you more, or, you know, rank you higher, which is kind of silly, because then you've shown that you can't make a relationship work. And maybe you just didn't make a stupid decision like I did twice, because I was married. I've been married twice. And I think there is. Okay. So here, if I'm going to answer really honestly, and a man who has been married once for a relatively, you know, maybe 10 years or so to where he wasn't married 25, 30 years, you know, because there's other attachment issues that come with that kind of a separation. But somebody who has proven, and not by marriage necessarily, but if you know that they've been in a committed relationship or they were living with someone, but somebody who at least is capable of commitment. And the same really goes for women. And I would say, like, to men, if the woman has been married a lot, I would run mm-hmm. for the hills. I'm sorry. It's mm-hmm. just, you know, every time you get married, especially after 50, second mm-hmm. marriages break up quicker, third break up quick. It's just, it's
right.
Almost stupid to, you know, why get married? That then becomes an issue. You know, why are you really getting married?
Well, sometimes some people I've heard, they have these quote unquote starter marriages. And
I had, like, that. Yeah.
Okay. So I'm like, so I, just for the folks who, particularly the guys who were mm-hmm. single for a long time and never married, I was on Match. I met a lot of women. Not all of them asked me, but a lot of them asked me, how come, have you ever been married? Why not? And my answer was, I've been in some long-term relationships. Obviously, they didn't work out. That's why I'm here. I guess I haven't met the right person yet. I travel. I'm busy at work. I'm interested. That's why I'm showing up here. And then I would leave it at that and it would never come up again. And I'd let them make their determination. Is there, you know, is this guy a narcissist or what? Or is he a serial dater? And based on my own, my actions and how I treated them, I hope that they would make the right, come to the right conclusions about me. So if you're a guy out there and you're single because you haven't met the right person, which was my situation, just say it. It's not like you never
I agree. What you just said is the what you just said is the perfect answer. Perfect answer. Well, if it's true. And for you, it's true. So it was perfect.
Well, thank you. I guess I guess it worked out because I did meet the right person and I got married and we're still married. So so I was reading an article, like a lot of times when we have our conversations on your show, Silke, you'll bring up an article and we'll talk about the author's perspective. So I was reading one and it said, four rules for men when you're dating. And I can attribute this for when you're dating a woman over 50. Number, I'd like to get your perspective from yourself and from also from some of your guests. One, be honest with your intentions.
Be honest, because it ultimately, if you're not honest about your intentions, it's just going to back, that's going to backfire too. And with intentions, meaning, you know, are you, do you, are you looking for a relationship or do you just want to get laid? But just don't waste anybody's time. Be honest with your intentions, not just for the benefit of the woman, but for yourself. Now, because you, if you're not honest with your intentions, you're not going to get what you, what you're looking for.
And how do you kind of ferret that out if you're a woman? Because guys don't want to be asked on the first date, like, what do you want? Do you want a relationship? Or, you know, you're just getting to know somebody. So I think you have to be careful with how you kind of find out what the person's intentions are. Just, it's not just about asking. It's about, I think, getting a vibe as to what this person really is interested. They want to have sex with me.
Yeah, let me clarify one thing is that when you say be honest about your intentions, that is not a question. That is something, just be honest about your intentions, but nobody should ever ask, or a woman should guess, well, what are your intentions? Or are you looking, you know, and I think the whole, are you looking for a relationship? A question should never be asked on a first date. It doesn't matter. You're not going to get you're not likely to get a real a true answer, because if he's not in, if right away there isn't a spark, which also is that's a mistake as well, you're not going to get the real answer. Because if he's not interested or doesn't think, he does go, well, you know, I'm just kind of, it's just a, it's a question that's not going to get a real answer. So it's just that that needs to come out in deeper conversation or maybe on a second date.
Okay, a couple more real quick because we're tight on time. Don't lie about your age.
Because you're, that's going to come out. If you're, if ultimately, if you're going to walk down the, you know, aisle or or just a relationship with it, it's going to come out. Age will always come out. You can't hide it. So that will just, you know, kick you in the butt.
I'll never defend the lying about your age, but I understand the rationale, particularly if you're online dating. Let's say you're like in great shape and you're a really good looking person and you're 61 and you put yourself as 58 because you can easily pull it off. And after, you know, 40 or so, people start to, some people who are 45 look like they're 65 and some people who are 65 look like they're 45. And you don't want to get yourself locked out because of the algorithm. So I think there's a little bit understanding there. And when you meet the person face to face, you can, if they,
that's when you need to clear it up right away. I agree. I agree with you that because it does, the filter thing is just, it's just playing the dating game, but I mean, I was answering out of, you know, when you come to the first date, you're sitting, you know, you meet this person, you've got to be honest about your age because that is actually that and weight are the two things that people get upset about the most.
Okay. Number three, don't only talk about yourself if you're a guy.
Oh, yeah. Well, and that goes for both as well, but especially men, because men tend to fall into that. It is kind of a guy thing. You know, you're, whether you think that you have to display what a great guy you are, how successful you are, blah, blah, blah. A lot of it comes from just being nervous as well. Men sometimes don't want to admit that. So talking about yourself is the one thing, you know, and if there's certain things you're proud of, But it yeah, you just you just turn you if you don't engage in the with the other person, you don't learn anything about her. We have this thing that says, and I think I might talk with you about that too. If you want to be interesting, shut up and ask questions.
And that brings me to the fourth and final point, which is be curious about who the woman is.
Yes. Yeah. Ask her questions and not, well, you know, that's, yeah, I do this. What about you? It's always the, what about you? How do you feel about that? Yep. Is make sure you engage in conversation for the opinion, for your opinion. That right away draws a woman in if that's what you want to do, because you're being taken seriously. You're not being talked at. So that's a, yeah, it's a really good point.
Now, I picked this up online. Forgive me, whoever wrote this article, but I think you did, as we just proved, a really good job in terms of some rules for men for dating. So thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Anonymous. My bad on that one. But anyhow, my good in that I've had a successful conversation once again with one of my favorite, if not my favorite guests on Guys Guys Radio, the amazing Silke Schwarzkopf, creator, host, producer of Second Act TV, the sensational runaway hit on YouTube. Subscribe. You can catch me there frequently, as well as a whole bunch of other fun folks. And I'm always thrilled when you come back to Guys Guys Radio. And it's great to see you again, Silke. So thank you so much.
Robert, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Okay, another stimulating, fascinating, and fun conversation with my pal Silke Schwarzkopf, host of Second Act TV, back visiting us on Guys Guys Radio. And once again, we did our best to kind of cover a lot of territory about dating over 50, some of the pitfalls, some of the landmines, and some of the opportunities that are there for us. And kind of, if you're a guy, how to approach women. If you're a woman, is it okay to approach the guy? How to kind of send the signals, how to read the signals that are being given out. And it's a whole lot of love languages out there that you really need to decipher if you want to be successful at dating over 50. Sometimes you have to update your skill set, particularly if you've been out of the market for a while, because things change. Even though human nature doesn't change, the technology changes and the way people interact, particularly when dating, can change significantly. So you really want to have your skill set on point. I think that's number one. Secondly, I think you really want to take a look, and I've said this a lot and I'll keep saying it, you want to start with yourself. You want to change the world, change yourself. You want to love the world, you want to get love back, love yourself. And it's as simple as that. So you've got to take some time before you put yourself back out there and ask yourself, what do you want? Who am I? What do I have to offer? What are some of the red flags that that I'm going to be aware of? What are some of the must-haves? What are some of the deal breakers? And what can I bring to the table? And it's circumspection. And you don't want to make the same mistakes and attract the same person who didn't really work out for you in the past. So you have to be fresh and you have to look at things with open-mindedness and self-love. Okay, thanks so much for tuning in to another episode of Guys Guys Radio on UK Health Radio. We're back next week with another great show. And until then, like I always say, guys, finish first.